Hey, it's Genevieve, aka Miss Fab 617.
And it's your girl Crystal, aka The Crystal Lens.
We're coming to you from our new show called
Boston Come Through. We'll be bringing you the latest and greatest things happening in and around Boston. We'll be talking what? Black-owned businesses, hey. Social events, what? And the Black experience. Okay. How's that sound, Genevieve?
I love it.
Dig it.
Tune in every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Boston Free Radio.
Boston, come through. Come listen.
What up? And we're back.
Oh, no.
How are you?
I'm fine. Why can't I hear myself?
How's that?
There we go. Much better.
Hi.
Hey, fam. What up?
I'm good, girl. I'm just trying to fit in, go my Facebook Live.
I know. We're trying to do all the things. The Facebook Lives, the Instagram Lives. We're trying to make sure y'all have all of the places to see our lovely faces.
Just doing too much right now.
We're trying.
I'm always doing too much.
No, you're not.
We're trying.
Okay, I think I'm getting my life together.
Yeah. There you go.
I don't like that angle.
Oh, boy. Here we go. What up, Boston? We are back for another week as we try and get our lives in order for Boston Come Through. It's your girl, Crystal, a.k.a. The Crystal Lens.
And it's Genevieve, a.k.a. Lego Stays _ Paris Nights on Instagram.
And?
Just Instagram.
Is that it? Okay. Mm-hmm. That's all we're doing now. Okay. I dig it. I'm not mad at it. How was your week, Genevieve?
It was long.
Yeah, it was really long.
Yeah, we did a lot.
Yeah.
We did a lot together. We spent a lot of time together.
So if y'all haven't been following the snapping and the chatting, Genevieve and I literally have been at the studio till like 3 o'clock in the morning.
3:30.
I know, 3:30 some nights, multiple times for the week. And we did it, what, last night again?
Yeah, it's like 2 though.
Yeah. Last night was an early night. We left at like 2.
Yeah.
but it's been a while. We're trying to, you know, do all the things. But in case y'all haven't heard, should we tell them the news? Where they can find Boston Come Through?
Oh, go ahead.
And ladies and gentlemen, drum roll please. Da-da-da-da.
You got that.
Ew. Boston Come Through. We are officially on the iTunes.
Look at her face.
Listen, the Lord's iTunes.
He's doing it.
We are officially on iTunes, y'all. So if you are an Apple iOS subscriber person, look for the purple app, the podcast app, and look up Boston Come Through, and you will find us there. Ew.
She's so proud of that.
I'm so proud of it. Yes, and the captions
I'm
are
proud
up.
Of the captions, because that took forever.
Yeah, because, yeah, we hadn't gotten that far in our life yet. But, yeah. Oh, so we're there.
I know.
And we're working on Google Play. I'm working on Google Play. And you know what? We're gonna work it out.
Awesome, girl. Yeah. Well, I guess we should start off with what we did this week.
I think we should.
We did a lot.
We did.
Starting with the Boston Music Awards.
Yeah, so, okay. Yeah. Should we start? You start. Go ahead, girl.
So, I had the hookup. You know, when you're not working, you can definitely take advantage of opportunities during the day.
Well, you don't got nobody's job to go to in the morning. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, Lord. We're just knocking things over. So, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. So, I happened to be on Facebook, like, Thursday morning, and my friend was like, she had, like, extra tickets to the Boston Music Awards, and mm-hmm, I was like, let me those. I need those.
Ew.
ASAP. So, I went to go pick them up from her, and she told me that I better give her a shout out.
Oops.
I know, on my Instagram. So I had to do that. So shout out to Marie.
Shout out to you, girl.
Yeah, she just had some random tickets, and that's so random. You were already going though.
I was already going, yeah, for representing Somerville Media Center with Miss Heather, who's in charge of BFR here. Yeah, which is totally dope. So it was me, you, Heather was there, Bianca, who was one of our former guests. I think she was on episode 7, if I'm not mistaken. It was a good old time, a wang dang doodle of a time.
Tell the truth, Crystal.
Well, okay. So let me stop fronting. I was like, why should look at me like that? So, okay. It was a good time.
It was a good
However, I think that it could have been executed a lot better.
Yeah, logistically.
Yeah. So there was like a couple of things. First and foremost, at least for me, it was on a Thursday night and it was really late.
I don't mind that.
No, but you see, that's because we ain't working. For me, see, Gladys, you know, if y'all
I mean,
know,
I guess for me, I'm just normally used to staying up late anyway, so even when I was working, that would
see,
be fine.
See, but think about regular schmegler folks, because by the end, there was
it's
like...
a show.
No, but by the end, there was like half the people were gone, you know what I mean?
I wasn't paying attention to that.
So, okay, so let me explain to you what happened. We got there, and it was actually pretty packed, you know what I mean? It eventually got like pretty packed, but... part of the problem was that, like you said, Genevieve, there was no host. You know
I
what I mean?
That? No, so I'm just kidding.
Girl!
I just,
there was
I'm
no
just kidding.
Host. There
yeah.
was no host to, you know, keep the crowd going, to keep us, you know, energetic, but also to, like, let us know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
There was just, like, performance after performance after performance, and there was, like, no awards until what time did they start the awards? Like
10:40
p.m. Mind you, we were there since 7. And
7:10.
Exactly. And people were there before us, you know what I mean? So imagine being there for like 4 hours and the first award is going out 4 hours after you got there. Like,
that is true.
You know?
Yeah, the whole situation. I'm just more of like, I just want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
So, like,
true.
When you, after performance number four, I was like, all right. And they were long sets, they were like 30 minutes.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, and also, like, who is waiting up for the first award to be at like damn near 11 o'clock at night? Because this is what I tell everyone. There were 5 awards that I was waiting for at the Boston Music Awards. 5.
Mm-hmm.
5 that I actually knew of, not including like anything else that they had going on. By 10:40, or not even 10:40, what time did we leave? 11:15 or so?
Yes, we did.
By 11:15, they had not announced not one of the 5 that I was waiting for.
Yeah, I mean, that was the part, like, if I knew, Lord, if I knew what to expect and, like,
yeah,
it would have been easier to wait. However, the garage that I parked at did close at midnight, so I had a cap on my night anyway.
Yeah.
But I think that was the main thing, not having a host. I thought the performances were good or whatever, like, that mm-hmm. was the issue. It was just, like, they kind of, this was like a concert. Like, and yeah. I'm gonna need the House of Blues. Can y'all sell food inside?
That was another thing.
The establishment?
There was no food. Like, how you guys not
yeah,
have food?
You were
like,
just drinking. They're giving out free sparkling
right.
ice. You can
right,
buy drinks.
Right, right. And
however,
no,
I can't get a chicken wing to save my life.
No chicken wing.
A French fry.
No
something.
Buffalo wing. No nachos. Nothing.
So I'm gonna put Bianca on blast, but Bianca came with me. They caught the
Oh, yeah. They
snacks.
Took her snacks, y'all. She had with some peanut butter crackers.
She came with some snacks.
You would have thought she came in with like a Popeye's 4-piece. Like,
yeah.
And no.
Yeah. I felt bad because when we were going, she was like, I'm hungry. Like, I didn't really eat.
Right.
And I'm thinking, it's not going to be that long. And I'm thinking, you
yeah.
know, and you're standing
we got
the whole
our
time.
We got our feelings hurt.
Yeah.
I sure did because I was hungry. We're sitting there doing interviews. You know what I mean? Like,
hence the hungry. Tasty burger run afterwards.
Yeah,
I did get some feedback on my Snap that we're always eating on Snap. That's what people think we're doing.
Okay, well, you know what?
And it's not their fault because they're only getting the snippets that we show them, right? So we're at Oliviera's, we're at Tasty Burger, we're at Burger King.
You're right.
And we're eating on the show.
You're right.
Today we got some meat pies.
JoJo's pies. Well, yeah. We got to introduce our guests.
Yes. This will be opportune time. Hey, girl. Hey.
Yes. Hey. So let me explain to y'all something. I was minding my magical business, right? And then I get this message on WhatsApp from my homegirl roommate, right? From Suffolk. And I'm like, first and foremost, didn't know
Suffolk
you had me
in the house.
Right. Didn't know you had me on WhatsApp. I was like, hey, girl, what's up? So she sent me, like, you know, this little rundown with a little link to some pies and some and some chicken pies and some beef pies. And I was like, oh, these look good. So I'm thinking she's forwarding, you know, somebody's, you know, mm-hmm. recipe, somebody's, you know, business, mm-hmm. not realizing that she's the person. Hello? We got the hookup.
That's what's up.
So, we want to welcome this roommate. Welcome to Boston.
Thank you
Come
guys
through.
For having me. I'm so excited, honestly, as you can tell. I have myself smiling.
Yeah, she's been smiling the whole time.
I know, but do I introduce myself now?
Yeah, tell us. We're going to get into your interview in a little bit.
Okay.
But I just wanted to let the folks know who the random voice was.
All right. Oh, anyways, my name is Ruma, and I make pies and everything nice and sweet and savory.
I saw the bread today.
Huh?
I saw the bread.
Oh, you did? And yeah, so the name of my pie business is called JoJo's Pies, and I'll tell mm-hmm. you guys a little bit more about it soon. So for now, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Dope. So we want to get into some of our what's going on in the world. There's a
girl,
lot.
Girl, we ain't done with our weekend recap.
Oh, we not done with the week. Oh, you're right. Look at me trying to move this show along.
We're not done.
Sorry.
So in addition to the, yeah, that was the BMAs. Yeah. It was fun though. It was cool.
Going with y'all. And then we ran into Amanda Shea at Tasty Burger.
We did. I also ran into my homegirl, Laura, from, like, high school, who was nominated. Yeah. For an award. So shout out to you, Laura Brogan, yeah, it's amazing who you run into. But yeah.
Yeah, and shout out to all the award winners and the nominees.
Yeah, shout out to everyone who won an award at the Boston Music Awards. Shout out to all of the nominees. Shout out to Experience Creative, Marcella Cruz, Hipstery, Oompa. Y'all know I'm an Oompa stan. yeah, just shout out to everyone who was nominated because, you know, y'all did the thing.
It was a good time.
It was.
Minus the
shenanigans.
Yeah. But other than that, and then Sunday,
I was in my pajamas, minding my business.
I was sitting in my car, like, just trying to, you know, at Burger King. trying to just waste time. Oh. Lord have mercy, y'all.
Let me help you out, girl. That little back leg, that's the problem.
So I was, and I get a call from my homegirl, Laura, who's actually one of the writers for Belle. And she was going to go cover the Boston Fashion Awards, but she couldn't go. Mm-hmm. She just had something come up. Thank you, girl.
Of course.
And she's like, you're supposed to be there at 7 for check-in for press. Mind you, 6:20. And I'm like, oh, Lord.
You didn't say what it was.
The Boston Fashion Awards.
Boston Fashion Awards. Wait, did you say that already?
I think I did.
I don't think you did.
I thought I did.
Well, we're going to say it again.
But anyway, and I'm looking at the time like, girl, I don't know. But I, like, you know, it was just one of those, like, uncomfortable moments because I was like, oh, my God, you want to look a certain way. You know? And how much time we need to get home, to get dressed. Luckily, my face is already beat because I went to shout out the Faces of Haiti photography event thing.
Yeah.
I can't remember the girl's name, but she's
doing it. We'll put it in the show notes and all that good
stuff. But I beat my face because she took a photo of me for her project, so I just happened to, like, be full makeup already done, which is usually what takes me the longest. Yeah.
Some of us were sitting in our pom-pom shorts and a flannel.
And I was like, fine, I'll do it, because I'm like, you're just not supposed to say no to those type of opportunities.
Yeah, definitely.
And then Crystal made it.
No. Rewind. Crystal, like I said, was in her pom-pom shorts and a flannel at home underneath her fluffy comforter, minding her business. And then Genevieve hits her up. I'm like, listen, there are very few people who I'm going to answer this phone this late at night when I'm comfy.
All the time.
Yeah, for you, girl, because I like you. That's why.
It wasn't that late. It was like 6:30.
That's okay. I was comfortable. That's not the point. It was Sunday evening. You know, Gladys, my elder persona, she likes to be in her bed. But yeah, Genevieve was like, oh, like, come through, you know, the Boston Fashion Awards. First off, didn't know we did the Boston Fashion Awards. Like, that was even a thing in the city of Boston.
I heard about it before because a friend of a friend, he won the Boston Stylist Award last year. Nice. So I knew of it. Yeah. It never occurred to me to go.
Yeah, see, I had no clue. I was like, who?
Yeah, a lot of people.
But yeah, so I had to, like, scramble to put together. And you know what's funny? It's real funny because I don't know if it was that evening or it was, like, the day before, we were having a conversation about my outfit from the Urban World Film Festival and how, like, when you go to these things, you want to be comfy, but you also want to look good, blah, blah, blah. Lo and behold, I put on the same outfit from the Urban World Film Festival. Yeah, just a different jacket and called it a day. A little romper with a leather jacket and some boots, and here we are. But
I
look so cute.
I literally just put this on though for another event.
You look so cute though.
I can't wear it anymore because it's debuted. So
it's debuted like on twice. The Instagram, on the Twitter, all the things.
Yeah, it was good. It was much smaller than I anticipated.
It was small, but like I liked it personally. I think obviously.
After the Music Awards, you're like,
yeah,
a lot better.
Yeah, but I liked it a lot in terms of like it was really intimate, but you know, you could be like close to the models, close to the designers. We met a bunch of awesome designers. And also too, like, they had like little performances. I don't know. It was nice.
I guess my only thing, and it coincides probably with what we're gonna talk about next with that whole article, that whole series on race in Boston.
Right.
That's coming out. It just had me thinking like, and I was thinking of this at the Boston Music Awards before I knew this piece was coming out, but it's almost like, you know,
hello. Sorry, y'all. We're working on getting a soundproof room. Work with us here. Work with us.
But it had me thinking about, like, who are these people that decide who gets Artist of the Year and who gets to perform and who gets to showcase? Who are the people that decide who's the, you know, the makeup artist of the year, the stylist of the year? Because clearly, we're people, like, you know, of the brown persuasion, we're usually not included. And that's not to say no one's ever won, because stylist of the year last year. He's Puerto Rican, mm-hmm. and this year, homegirl with the boots that we took the picture of. Do you remember her and her friend at towards the end? She had like the silver boots.
Oh yes.
Today I was hashtagging. I was looking at, but I didn't realize she's the one who won wardrobe stylist of the year.
Oh nice.
So I mean, it's clearly like people like they are us. Represented in some categories, and like right. two of the designers right. that were showcasing that night were black, but it's almost like who are these the handful of people that yeah. are saying, you know, and the fact that nobody, because I had another extra ticket for mm-hmm. Boston Music Awards, and I hit somebody else up and it was like they were like, what's that? And I'm like,
no, honestly, I didn't know what it was either. I was like, okay, I'll go. Like,
the
whatever.
Both of them, I hear like a lot of people for it to be like the Boston Music Awards mm-hmm. and the Boston Fashion Awards. Like, a lot of people don't seem to know about it, which mm-hmm. you know speaks to the fact that typical Boston, it's like exclusivity. Like,
yeah, it's a mentality here. Like, it's like every time, and it's interesting because it's across different industries. So like. I was like, oh, okay, like maybe it's just a music industry thing, but like, I don't know. It seems to be like a Boston thing, like a Boston mentality.
Yeah, I don't think it's, you know, good, like, either.
And for me, I don't know. Like, I'm always thinking about stuff like that where it's like, girl, I need you to get this phone together.
It's the door.
No, I think it's your heavy phone.
It's definitely the door.
I think it's your phone because you got a big old frying pan for the phone. But anywho, but yeah, I don't know. I think it's a mentality here, you know, like in Boston where like folks are very exclusive. Folks are very like me. It's a very like individualistic mentality. But yeah, anywho.
Yeah, I just don't think it's really a great look, to be honest. So.
Yeah.
That is all
that we did for the week. Well, we didn't, but you know, here we are. But shall we get into a little of the race in Boston?
Well, let's save that. I want to take a quick break.
You want to take a breaky break?
I'm going to go fix the door.
Oh, gosh.
But,
what are we going
to
play?
JoJo, what you want to listen to?
Miss Roommate.
Honestly, I don't know. Anything works.
Wait. Why is it called JoJo's Pie?
Wait, we can't just get into that.
I just want to know because I really just called her JoJo. And I'm like, that's not her name.
So, basically, JoJo is... My grandmother's name was Josephine.
Aww.
I know, yeah.
Oh, grandma.
And so, I know. So, I used to just call her, like, JoJo, like, because yeah. we like, just to hype her and stuff. So, obviously, like, I wanted something that would just sort of, like, tell her story.
Right.
So, I named it after her, and I just named it JoJo's. And I couldn't think of anything else. Aww. I needed to incorporate, like, her into, like, the brand and stuff, because it's about her, basically.
So, basically,
JoJo's is for Josephine.
Aww.
That
nice. All right. What would Grandma JoJo want to listen to? I know, right?
Maybe
put you on the spot.
Oh my god, maybe some Janae Aiko.
Janae Aiko, okay.
Any particular
probably
song?
Not, but like I just want to
she's channeling Grandma JoJo via roommate with. So like, this is what I think she wanna hear because this is what I wanna hear.
Maybe, yeah, exactly.
So I'll play the worst.
Yeah, let's
yeah,
play
yeah,
worst.
I like that song.
So. Awesome.
Do not depend on nothing or no one. So shit you was spitting so unoriginal. But it was you, so I was with it. Then I tell you the truth, wish we never did it. Cause I usually do, stick to the business. But you came out the blue, and then you just flipped it. Goddamn, baby, my mind's blown. Be forgetting you live in a different time zone. Think I know what this is, it's just the time's wrong. Yeah, I know what you did, but baby, I'm grown. And my love is patient and kind of shit. This is where we could build through different types of shit. You was really the realest, wouldn't be fighting it. I think your pride is just Jhené Aiko.
I always call her Jean.
Girl, it's Jhené.
Jhené
Aiko. Jhené Aiko. Anywho, welcome back, y'all. Boston Come Through here on Boston Free Radio. We doing the thing. We just doing the thing. Doing the thing. Doing the thing. Yeah.
Okay. So, Crystal.
What up?
Tell us how famous you are.
I'm not famous at all. Also, is my microphone? I don't think my microphone's up.
Girl, it's all.
I don't think so. I'm guest too, girl.
That's there we go. Hello, hello. There we go. Everyone can hear Crystal now. Ow.
So, Crystal, tell them how famous you are.
I'm not famous at all, first and foremost. But this past week, the Boston Globe released a video about asking, you know, is Boston racist? Is a racist city? And I was minding my business in the middle of downtown Crossing one day. And I forget the woman who actually came up to me from the Globe, but she literally like came all the way to the top of that big old staircase that they built in downtown Crossing. Mind you, I'm at the tippity top. Yes, yes. Right? I'm at the tippity top. Like, she passed mad heads and came straight to me. I was like, hello.
I was like, that one there.
I noticed you were the only young person, though.
Yeah, there was another one. There was another guy. The other guy was young.
Young black woman.
Yeah, that's true. That's actually, yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, I'm holding it down. Holding it down. But it was interesting. They were just kind of asking, you know, about my experience in Boston, living in Boston, and, you know, is Boston a racist city? Like, yes, no, and what is the experience like? I don't know. I want to ask our guest, Ms. Roommate, because I know you got feelings. Because we were talking about it a little bit before.
I feel like, from my own perspective, I think that, you know, it's somewhere in between. Like, I can't outrightly say, oh, Boston is racist.
Right.
Because I feel like it's very, like, subjective. Like, the experiences everyone, like, individually experiences.
Right.
So, for me, I think it's somewhere in between, like, yes and no and, like, complicated.
Right.
So, like, I told you how, like, I experienced, like, I've experienced at least, like, up until this year. I haven't, I always used to hear stuff about, like, you know, racism and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, for me, it was just, like, in passing. I knew, I acknowledged that these things happened, but it wasn't, like...
Can you tell folks where you're from, Rume?
Oh, yeah. So, I'm originally Nigerian.
Nigerian the house.
Born and raised, you know. And I've been here since 2012. I went to college here, so I kind of, like, now I'm, like, a... What's it called?
Like a transplant.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So I've been in Boston for a while now, and like I've just come to realize that, like, you know, sometimes like some things might not be as they seem.
But, right.
You know, with the whole racism thing. Like I told you about my experience at the bar. Like my brother was there, and it was very like was outrightly like, this is racist.
Yeah. But do you want to give like a quick little like the Spark Notes version of that? I know we got real into the story, but it was an interesting perspective on like racism, and then also. So, like, not necessarily, I don't know the difference between overt and covert, but essentially, like, the racism that's, like, not necessarily in your face, right? So someone, like, not necessarily calling you the N-word, right. But, like, these other little things.
Very subtle.
Like, subtle things like that make things, you be like, yeah. Huh, you know what I mean? But, yeah, do you want to give them a quick...
So, I mean, it was one of, like, it was a work day, and, you know, I had, like, a very long day, and I was like, you know what, let me just go grab a drink, and my brother mm-hmm. was, like, around the area, and I was, like, went to this bar, traveling in the square, and... I asked the bartender for a drink, mm-hmm. and mind you, when I got there, he didn't offer me a menu or anything. He just assumed that I was, like, underage or, mm-hmm. like, pretty much destitute or poor. I don't know. But he was very rude to me. You know, even the way he asked for my ID, he was overly scrutinizing, like, my picture and making sure that I wasn't, like, you know, underage. And then he didn't, when I ordered the drink, the way he slid my credit card back to mm-hmm. me was as if, like, oh, just because I... didn't open a tab, so it was like he came up as very aggressively racist. So right. It wasn't like, you know, it was just something that was very outrightly, like, prominent. Like, I could mm-hmm. see it was happening there, and it wasn't just me, because my brother too was like, did you, like, get, like, any sort of racist vibe from this
right.
guy? So, you know, I ended up, like, obviously talking to the general manager, and then he ended up, like, having a conversation with us, and he ended up, like, buying us drinks all night. So it was just ironic that, you know.
But, like, the best part is, like, talk about the general manager though,
right.
Because
so he happened to be, the general manager happened to be a black, like, when I tell you, like, typical black guy that was, like, well read, well spoken, well traveled, mm-hmm. and, like, he ended up, like, he was, like, really angry engaging with me and my brother, and mm-hmm. we're, like, having conversations about, like, Nigeria and, like, different even food, mm-hmm. from food to drinks to everything. So it was like, this guy's over here serving us because, like, the tab was on him, drinks on him. And it was just ironic because, like, now you're over here, like, being nice because you can see that you're, like, you're in the power of, like, you're mm-hmm. now at a disadvantage because right. like, your boss is, like, talking to me, and, you know,
right.
But it wasn't like that, like, 30 minutes prior to that. So I just think, you know, and look, for instance, riding the train in the morning mm-hmm. when you're going to work, sometimes yeah. you don't even notice it, but, like, you could be, someone could be, like, literally very, like, so, like, be racist to you, but you wouldn't know until you know. So,
yeah.
Like, for instance, like, sitting down, and, like, there's a space in between you, mm-hmm. and they don't want to, like, be, like, up close and personal, but not because, like, there's no space, mostly because, like, you know, you look different.
Right.
So I think, I don't know, but, like, I feel like it happens a lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That was my thing.
It's not pronounced per se, but it's definitely there, and it's definitely
something very subtle
needs to be addressed. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that was my thing. Like, they didn't show my whole, obviously, like, the whole interview that I did or whatever with the Boston Globe, but that was my thing, was, like, I don't, not that it doesn't happen, like, there's definitely been instances of folks, like, using the N-word and stuff like that. I mean, even just the other day, I think it was Brookline High, don't correct me if I'm wrong, but the Snapchat video that came out with, you know, the kids using the N-word and stuff like that. But for me, I'm like, that's not the everyday thing that happens here in Boston. It's very, like, a lot of microaggressions, right? So, for example, like, at, you know, one of my old jobs, you know, we're at a company meeting, for example, right? We're going around the table, right? Everyone at the company is saying, you know, how they feel about the new strategy of the company, yada, yada. CEO decides that it was a good time to comment on my hair. Like, he didn't comment on her hair, his hair. He comments on my hair. He gets to me and he's like, hey, Crystal, what do you think? And he's like, ha-ha, I always try and get my hair like that.
Wait, what?
No BS. That's literally, like, what he
like
said.
Like, this hair right now?
No, I had, like, I think, like, I had, like, braids. Long weave or something mm-hmm. like that. Mind you, you're, like, a middle-aged white guy with, like, short hair.
Yeah,
like,
what business
you
like?
Never try and get your hair like mine. Like, you know what I mean? And it stood out to me because, like, three or four of my coworkers, I worked with some pretty, like, woke white girls. Like, they had it holding down. But even they came up to me, they were like, what the fuck? Like, they're like, did you hear that? Yeah, I heard it. Yeah, trust me, I heard it loud and clear. And so even they were like, that was uncomfortable, like, for them sitting there being like,
like, there was no need for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that had nothing. What does my hair have to do with the company strategy?
No correlation with, like,
you know what I mean? There's no correlation. You didn't do that to anyone else. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's stuff like that, at least for me, that happens a lot. But I don't know what you think, Genevieve.
I took more away from the article and talking about Boston. I think if you're looking for more covert mm-hmm. type of racism, you're not going to find it. Mm-hmm. We live in a politically correct society, so I don't think people are really honest about how they feel
right.
about things, and they know, people know how to act in public for the most part.
Yeah.
But I think with the article, just talking more so, I think, systematic racism, mm-hmm. And just, you know, I read fully the first article that came out on Monday. I haven't read all the articles all the way through.
Yeah, if you guys get a chance, go to it's theBostonGlobe.com/race, and you'll find all of them there.
And, but I did, I felt like it was on point in terms of, you know, I read the article on how the Seaport District, you know, just how white it is. And it's so true because, you know, it was talking about, like, where the middle class black enclaves, there's like three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it talked about, you know, I think it said for every black household that has a medium, like it has an income of $75,000 and higher, there's 21 white families that have that.
Mm-hmm.
And it talked about, like, the net worth of, you know, every non-immigrant black family was like $8, which right. I heard before actually at another event.
Like, yeah, what? Yeah, literally like $8, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, yeah. And but just, you know, I think yesterday they did the article on education and how, like, even BU,
mm-hmm.
how the amount of black students enrolled in, like, 30 years ago compared to now is the same percentage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Today, I think they talk about healthcare, and we already know what the deal is with that versus, you know, getting cancer treatment at Boston Medical Center versus Dana-Farber is not the same thing.
Right, definitely. It makes a huge difference.
So I think when you're...
Bless you, girl, bless you.
When you're talking about these things and talking about Boston, and I would see with my coworkers, because it was only... or my previous job, it was really me and I'm not gonna say her name, but you already know because she's a Suffolk alumna.
Yeah.
But even with her, you know, we just, you know, all the black folks, we just gonna hang out, we just gonna click, you know, because it's like we're like little raisins, right?
Yeah.
And like this whole like milk or whatever, like we just
raisins
just,
in the milk. That's a new one.
I don't know. Like we're just drawn to each other, right? Because you just understand the hair thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes for me, it was uncomfortable when I would do my hair in a new style to go to work because it was
girl.
Like, oh my god, oh my god.
Or did you cut your hair? Like, no, this is what comes out of my head when I don't got a wig or a weave on it. Thank you.
Or just
you.
Having, you know, people expecting you to explain things to them.
Yeah.
Or,
well, and that's a big thing too. Like, not to cut you off, because like for me, I'm like, at least I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but like for me, I feel like people of color, like we have
you
to
just
know
there's just certain things, like we have a code, you know. If I like your hair and I want to know if it's a wig or mm-hmm. a weave, I'm not gonna call you out in front of the whole damn office.
Right.
I'm gonna pull you aside after a comp, like,
but I think, sorry to cut you
off. No, go for it.
I think it's strange that you would have to explain your look of yourself, you know.
And
what
that's what I'm trying to get at.
Well, I think that's white privilege though, because because you as a black person, we are knowledgeable white people and the shit they have to do.
That's what I'm saying.
But white people, they're just like, we're like such an, and because they also don't have to, they can navigate the world. If they never want to interact with mm-hmm. people of color, they don't have to. You can never do that as a black person. I mean,
you have to, like, it's almost like it's like inevitable.
You can't turn it off.
Yeah.
I'm not like, this morning I'm gonna be a white woman. Like, it don't work like that. And that I love that you bring that up, because that's what I was trying to get at too, is like we have to know about ourselves and them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Versus, like you were saying, like, mm-hmm. You know, like, you can walk around the world and never have to interact with, you know, a person of color at all. You don't have to know about our hair. You don't
and
have to
even,
know anything.
You know, my coworker, she's mm-hmm. also a transplant, because you knew she grew up in Haiti, too.
Yeah, definitely.
But it was just... Girl, I just remember sitting in meetings and they'd be like, have you ever done this? Have you ever done that? And I'm like, y'all are saying the whitest shit ever. Like, no, not even trying to be funny or like disrespectful to anybody. But like, me as a black person, if you're like new here and you're like, what should I do in Boston? I'm not going to be like, oh, go to a Red Sox game. That's the last thing I'm going to say to do, because I'm like, we ain't there. You know, we still getting called the N-word over there. We ain't there.
Hello,
like, you know what I mean? So, or as a black person, just avoiding certain spaces, you mm-hmm. know, if it's a Red Sox game. Like, my ass ain't going to Fenway, even if you know what I mean. Like, you just don't want to be in certain type of environments,
right?
And even the Seaport District, because you know, or even inviting, you know, us, they would do like Taco, and I'm not knocking nobody, but like Taco Tuesday, which I like, but I'm not going to Southie to do Taco Tuesday. Like, I'm just not about to do that. You know what I mean? So, I mean, just things like that or whatever. I don't know. And even after, I remember when Sterling Brown? I think I'm getting his name wrong. He was the guy that was he was one of the many black folks that was killed.
Alton Sterling.
I remember that morning, that was like the first thing I saw, because I went right on social media and I'm like, what is this hashtag? And of course, you go look at the video. Now I'm all fucked up and I gotta go to work.
Right, right.
And I'm at work and only my other black coworker, we're like, we just look at each other and we already know what time it is. Like, right. You know what I mean? And everybody else is like a normal day. And I just remember Evelyn from the internet.
Yeah,
she did her video about like calling out while black. Mm-hmm. Like, some days, like sometimes you're like mental health wise for a black person. Like, that would have been a day like I would have loved to call out while black, because it's like, y'all got me fucked up this morning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially, like, during that time, to all things starting, like, Philando Castile, you got Sandra Brown, you got, like, you know what I mean, Mike Brown, like, you know what I mean, Sandra Bland, sorry, Mike Brown, like, you have all of these things happening, like, back to back to back, and it happens even more so now. It's just, like, we're not hearing, there's, because it happens, what, every, I think it's 26 or every 28 hours, a person of color is shot by some type of, like, law enforcement, you know what I mean? So, it's happening all the time, and, like, imagine if you could call out while black. Imagine if you didn't have to go to work because you're like, actually, you know what, like, my mental health is more important.
Yeah,
you know,
I do want to I thought it was interesting, like, you being a transplant and not, like, having grown up here. I am a child of immigrants too, so it's like I get the African-American perspective, and then I get like the black immigrant perspective. Mm-hmm. And just like, even with my parents, it's kind of like, how, because that's not the history of you know, not being in this country, like how sometimes oblivious that you can be to, like, racism or whatever, you know,
because explain what you mean by that.
Like, just not under, because, like, just not having that context of growing up black in America. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and I think I understand a little bit more, because I chose to go to HBCU because of the fact that I wanted to, you know, I want to be around black folks.
Right.
I want my teachers to be black, I want my students to be black, I want my admin to be black, I want everybody to be
because
black.
Because we have to carve out spaces for ourselves, because we're not in the majority.
And I loved it, because it was like, wow, this is the first time ever in life, and probably the only time ever in life, where I was in a space where I wasn't thinking about being the only black person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think when you come from any country where the people are majority black, and then you come to the U.S., I think you see it differently.
Right.
Versus, like, when you're in it, like, you've been in it. You know what I mean? So
definitely.
Just wanted to make that point.
Yeah, and that's how I feel, too. Like, every time I go to Barbados, it's just, like, that's how I, you know, you can just kind of, like, breathe easy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you don't got to be looking over your shoulder. Like, you don't got to be, you know, worrying about, like, oh, is this person doing such and such because I'm black? Or, you know what I mean? Like, if someone's being rude to me, it's because they're rude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, you know, like, I know for the most part there's not gonna be those, like, racist undertones.
People like to say, like, sometimes black folks are hypersensitive. And it's like, maybe we are sometimes.
Hello? In 200 situations. Years of slavery?
Yeah,
hello?
But it's like, it's like when you're a woman and you're working amongst all men, and, like, you get passed over for, you know, something that you deserve. Right, you're almost like, is it because I'm a woman?
You have to second guess yourself,
And I think you, as a black person, you just have to always have to, you know, like, in that instance, like, maybe if he could have just been rude. And if you were a white person, you would probably be like, he's just rude, he don't, you know, whatever.
Right,
but because you're black, now I gotta be like, how much is my melanin?
Yeah, so it's
factor into this.
Yeah.
So.
And I love that what Rume was saying, just like about, you know, like, you, that situation, you could have been like, all right, because I know there's so many people, when stuff like that happens, you kind of, like, sit back, and sometimes you accept it because you don't want to be, like, that aggressive black person,
right.
Or you don't want to be viewed like that. But, you know, I love what you did when you're like, you know, I went up and I was like, hey, like, can I speak to your manager, blah blah blah, and you know you just asked for the manager, which is, like, you're totally entitled to. And imagine, that's what I'm saying, imagine if you had sat there and you didn't do anything about
that's
that.
The thing though, like, that's, you need to I believe in, like, speaking up, like, regardless of whatever it is, like, you, no one should ever make you feel uncomfortable or, like, you know, make you pinch your skin. So for me, it was either, like, sit down there and take it, get up and leave, or, like, address it. So I felt like, I'm not gonna, like, have you cut my night short because, like, you disrespected me. I mean, I came here for a drink and I'm gonna get my drink, but I also need to be respected. So I was like, you know, I need to speak to your general manager. I need to, like, get this addressed because this is unacceptable and no one deserves to be, like, you know,
treated like that. This way. Yeah, so absolutely.
Definitely something that, you know, you just kind of have to be vocal about it, I guess, as opposed to, like, just not saying anything. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, like, that's pretty
much
that
ish can be tiring.
It's so tiring.
Or when you have to explain to white folks, like, why something they said is offensive. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or, like,
yeah, but it also depends on, like, the context. You have to always kind of gauge it. Like, obviously, you're not going to be like, why did you do this?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I deserve to be, you know, sometimes it depends on, like, the situation or the circumstance, I think. So you have to, like, be very, like, where you have to kind of gauge, like, okay, is this, like, worth me even responding to?
Right, right. Is this worth my energy? Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes it's, like, futile efforts because you're just sitting down there and they don't do anything. A lot of times people have bad customer service and all they get is, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, mm-hmm. Is there anything I can do? Like, nothing. It's already been done, so there's nothing. You can't undo it. So for me, it's, like, it's at least, like, it shows that at least, like, you know, you appreciate it or someone is at least trying to, like, you know, give you good service. So for me, I think.
And it's also hard, too, speaking up because you're, like, dang, like, do I, you know what I mean? It's like, is this actually like an act of prejudice or like is it, like you're saying, like, is this person just like an asshole? You know what I mean?
And give you straight facts.
Yeah, it's
I feel like we don't have enough time to go into it, but like what happens when it's your own?
I know.
Ooh, we gotta have an episode on that. I've had that happen to me. While I was patronizing a black establishment and it clearly wasn't like a racist thing,
right?
But even in talking,
but it
to
is
the
because
owner,
it's internalized oppression. That's what it is. It's internalized, like, racism.
I see how y'all treat when the queer folks walk in here. Like, y'all are like on your toes and you're ready to.
But that's
go.
What it is, though. That person has internalized white supremacy. They have internalized systematic oppression. They've internalized all of those things. You know what I mean? So it is still racism, but it's internalized where they now feel that they have to act a certain way towards even their own folk. You know what I mean? Like, that's totally a thing. Yeah, like, and I've definitely experienced that before too. So I know I wish we had time to get all into it, but I definitely want to get into Rume and these, you know, JoJo Pies. Because I think JoJo Pies are gonna, you know, save the world. It's gonna solve racism because everyone gonna be fed and everyone's gonna be, you know, all happy, taste buds happy and whatnot. Yeah, so like we said, this is Miss Rume West joining us here in Boston. Come through. And you have, would you call it like a your business or?
So yeah, I mean, I definitely would call it like, it's like, so I guess like put it on there like a small business.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, yeah.
That I want to like eventually expand on and, you know, hopefully, because at first, so let me just like give you guys a look the like, you know, the whole
shebang
of the whole thing. So, for me, I think I grew up, like, I don't know how I even learned, I don't think I ever, like, learned how to cook.
Right.
Because, like, growing up, like, me and my, we lost, like, our mom when we were, like, eight. So, wow. We were, like, really young and we lost our mom. Mm-hmm. So, like, my grandma pretty much, like, brought us up. Mm-hmm. So we're like a little like last kids because all her kids are obviously older and stuff.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah.
I kind of just kind of figure stuff on my own. And then with the cooking thing, I don't know. I think it was just like second nature to me because like I don't think anyone ever taught me how to cook per se. Mm-hmm. But I would obviously watch. So I just kind of like liked it. Like, you know, the whole shebang, like baking, cooking. And I really did it well. So I've had like friends tell me, oh, you should definitely start like catering. But mm-hmm. I would always just kind of like, whatever, like, it's not my thing, because I just felt like, I mean, I didn't know day, like, whatever. But I've always, like, it's been something that has come, like, into discussion, like, more, I can't even count the amount of times people have told me to, like, start something. So for me, with this JoJo's Pie, I think I had, like, a revelation this year, because I went through, like, when my grandma died, I went through, like, a rough, like, path where, like, I was, like, I didn't have closure, I was upset, mm-hmm. I was like running away from so many things. I was in school, I was like stressed out. Mm-hmm. So it was just so much going on with me and I was just like,
how old were you when
oh, this was like 2 years ago. Okay. This was in 2015. Okay. September 2015.
So it's really recent.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. Still like very fresh. So for me, I was just like angry. I felt like she didn't live enough. She didn't live long to see me like thrive. Mm-hmm. She didn't like, I felt like all her efforts weren't futile or anything, but I wish she could have been around to like, mm-hmm. you know, see me become who I am today or like mm-hmm. at least see my kids. So I had all these plans and then everything was cut short. And it's funny because that year she died, I actually just graduated from college. Mm-hmm. So it was like almost as if God just like made her stay up until I was able to like, you know,
to graduate.
Exactly. Wow. And figure out like my life and mm-hmm. figure out at least become an adult, you know, because I was 21. And then I was thinking, I was like, how do I pay her back? Like, I mean, I feel like I've not done enough. I have to, like, pay tribute to her. Like, there's something I have to do, but I just don't know what. But I need to, like, it's not enough for me. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, sometime this year, for some reason, after, like, I finished school and everything, I started working. I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I was just like, you know what? Like, this thing, this is a sign from God because this thing keeps coming up. And I'm just like, what is this? So, I started cooking, like, looking at recipes, researching, like, pastries, like, just, like, always cooking, literally. And it wouldn't take anything from me because I literally would find myself just, like, randomly chefing it up. Like, ask my brother, like, or my sister. I'm just, like, random. But it always comes out. Not to, like, blow my own trumpet or anything. I just...
Blow it.
I kind of accepted that this might be just like a God-given gift that I shouldn't undermine.
Yeah.
So when this whole idea came out, I started looking at like, oh, maybe I should just stop baking or I don't know cooking. So I'll take like I'll like make. I started over the summer, but I wasn't really posting anything. Then towards like the fall, I actually started posting pictures on Snapchat, and I was like, mm-hmm. "Oh, like I made pies." And then I would have like literally like 10 people message me, "Yo, like those look so good. Like, you know, I want some." But I thought they're just like, "Oh, love struck emoji, smiley." And I'm just like, right. "Whatever." So I kept doing it, and then until one day, someone actually asked me, "Dola, shout out to you because you're like my like literally pushed me." She literally asked me, "Oh, are you catering pies and stuff?" And I was just like, I mean, yeah, might as well. Like, I am. And I actually was. But I just didn't have, like, I needed, like, that one person to just, like, make me snap out of it. You know what I mean? So I was just like, okay, well, this is a thing now. I have to, like, brand it. I have to stand out from, like, every other pie maker. There's so many, like, and I feel like with Boston, because I'm also Nigerian, it's very difficult. Because meat pie is literally, like, it's like a delicacy. Every Nigerian knows that this is, like, our, like, holy grail. It's kind of like, you know how you have, like, Jamaican patties and, like, Haitian? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Something that everyone likes.
Right.
So, like, people will literally wait to go to weddings to eat meat pie.
Right.
Or, I don't know, but they go far and wide to look for meat pie. And I'm just like, even me, myself, like, there's only one Nigerian restaurant in Boston, and everybody goes there, and I'm just like, okay, I don't have to be traveling because of meat pie. Mm-hmm. I was like, when I can make meat pie by myself, yeah. So I was like, okay, I don't just want it to be meat pie. I needed to stand out from every type of pie. So I was thinking about ideas. I needed to brand it. I needed a story. I needed to like include like my actual story and my passion and everything into one.
Right.
So it's almost like all encompassing, and it's like this is my brand.
It's your story.
It's my story, pretty much. Yeah, and it meant a lot to me. So it was very sentimental. It wasn't just like pies, you know.
Right. Like, there's a whole there's a thing that goes why into this it. Came up.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, JoJo. Like I wrote on a list of names that I could potentially use for like, the thing, and I was like, I don't want to just call it Josephine because people won't even understand.
Right.
At the same time, like JoJo sounds very like cute and feminine. And
yeah.
Like, oh, I could like be anything, literally. So I was like, you know, I'm just gonna go with JoJo's.
Right.
And then I was like, I also don't want to limit myself because it could get boring just making pies. So like, even if it's pies, that doesn't mean I can't make cakes or like banana bread or other stuff like savory pastries, sweet pastries. All
do
like,
you make those as
I
well?
I mean, pretty much, yeah. Like,
awesome.
I just started, but like, I have so many plans for this thing. Mm-hmm. I want to expand to the point where it's like, cause like my slogan is like sugar pies and everything nice.
Oh, cute.
So like, I kind of wanted like everything, but like mostly pies, cause that's like what gave me the idea in the first place. So for me, I was like, this is definitely for my grandmother. Like, my logo is like, I want it to be.
I know,
like,
I love the logo.
Yeah,
it's
so
cute.
I designed it myself. I remember it took me so long to like get this started because I really wanted it to go perfectly. I wanted it to like kind of like represent her because obviously she was very cool and very like, you know, jumpy.
Yeah,
so
if you guys, whenever you guys take a look at it, you know, it's literally like a little, it almost reminds me of a little old lady Bitmoji,
right.
Like, you know, little Bitmojis like on
pretty
Snapchat.
Much.
And she has her little gray hair
yes.
with a little bun on top,
and
little
her
little silver,
the
yeah, with her little shade, the black dark shade,
right.
So a little smirk on
I
the side.
See, I'm like, be curious, like, why does she have a grandma's? Like, what's that?
Do you yeah.
understand? Ask questions.
Well, that, I think also. Too when you hit me up, that's why I thought you were
yeah.
like sending me someone else's. That's why I was like, oh, like who is this
who
person? Because I want me some, and then yeah,
so I was like, yeah, so this is it for me. And then I started looking for ways to like make it stand out because
mm-hmm.
I was like, yo, like everybody makes pies, so I was like, let me like incorporate like different fillings that people actually like to eat,
right?
You know, like you know how like the pizza, everybody loves pizza, you literally like everybody would eat pizza every day if they could.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the pepperoni, there's like mushroom, like there's every type of like you know, filling. For me, if I wanted like. I wanted something different, so I was like, okay, let me do jerk chicken. I know people like, I like jerk chicken. That's literally like one of my favorite
hey.
Things to eat. So I was like, you know what? Like, I can make banging jerk chicken and make it like a filling and make it nice. And then I was like, chicken pot pie is like very like hearty and comforty. And
yeah.
Funny. And it's like, I mean, it's very like English, but it's like comfort food.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So I was like, nobody would say no to like nice. Moist chicken pot pie, and I was like, maybe like adding some like not everyone eats meat, maybe like have like salmon or potatoes or
mm-hmm,
something
mm-hmm.
for like people that eat seafood. And then I was thinking about like, you know, obviously there's gonna be classic beef, just like looking for ways like onion and mushroom,
yeah,
like maybe even like barbecue chicken, maybe anything at all, maybe
mm-hmm.
tomato basil, just like look for things that would make me stand out.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted like universal crust, so if I wanted to make it sweet, it could be sweet,
right?
I could put in like, you know, maybe peanut butter and jelly, I don't know, but just
yeah, yeah, yeah,
right? So it's kind of like, this is like signature to me, you know, so when people eat it, they don't forget, because that's the whole point. Because it's
right,
one thing to like
right.
it's one thing to say, oh, this is my thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing for people to actually see it, but it's another thing for them to taste it,
right?
And be like, oh, this shit.
And actually funny. Yeah,
and like,
your taste buds are doing a little
yeah.
dance.
And I've been so happy because like so far I've been getting like so much positive feedback,
right?
Like I went to New York last weekend and I was just like, let me just take pies.
hi guys. And like everybody was like, oh my god, it's so good, it's so good. I literally traveled, I didn't care. I was like, I'm taking my everywhere. JoJo was like, right. I literally see people on around. Like, do you guys like pies?
Right.
And I'm like talking to, because I'm at the end of the day, I realized that maybe this is something that I should have been doing, because like I know that I'm very personable and I don't have a problem like talking to people.
Right.
And I also don't have a problem like cooking. So it's like it's for me, it was like, just like the perfect combo for me.
Yeah.
So I like that. And then also, this is so random, but it also kind of relates to this whole JoJo story. So like when I was going through this whole like, you know, disastrous year, which was like last year, I started to write. I've always been writing, but like I would always hide and write. Like I'll write like notes on my phone and stuff.
Yeah.
But then like I was like, maybe I should just have my own space where I can just write whatever I like, as in like without anybody even like, you know, when there's freedom of like, if there's, you know how it's,
you don't have speech, to worry about anyone judging you. Exactly. Yeah, nothing. So I was, like, I mean Genevieve's a blogger too, so yeah.
And it took me a while to like have the courage to like come up with that blog. But eventually when I did it, I didn't look back. And then I kind of wrote about my grandmother a lot. So it kind of just like gave me even more inspo to like make something out of it. I just think everything came all together and worked nicely. So yeah, that's pretty much everything about JoJo's Pies. And I just
that's
hope
awesome.
That, you know, this, I eventually want like a truck, like a food truck.
Yeah, that'd be so
imagine
dope.
Like a cute like purple black.
Yeah,
and then the grandma
with
like
the old lady on the side.
Yeah, it's just very bubbly and very feminine and cute.
Yeah,
and everyone is like, oh, that like you're gonna be curious to see what like that has to offer, you know?
Right. So now, what do you I mean, like, you know, how have you been like marketing yourself? Just kind of, I know you like hit me up just randomly on WhatsApp, which I love that, you know what I mean?
So
just kind of,
I feel like with this you have to be very aggressive, because at the end of the day it's mostly word of mouth, but you also kind of have to put yourself out there. So for the most part I've been using social media. I made like an Instagram page, JoJo's Pies, you guys check it out.
Definitely.
And then I made like a page on Facebook. I haven't, because I'm not really active on Facebook, to be honest. So it's been tough for me to like try to like get back into the scene,
right?
But I've been like trying my best, like because it has to be out there. And I made a Twitter page too. Sometimes like I like literally to take my business cards everywhere. I don't really care. I'm just like today when I was coming here, I literally gave the bus driver, because he was like, oh, I want some pie. I was like, please buy. And then I was like, oh, actually no. I was like, you want some pies, right? And I gave him my card. I was like, you know, let me know.
Nice.
And he was asking me questions. He actually like told me he'll hit me up. Even if he doesn't, like it's all about like making an effort to like just put it out there.
Yeah, and it's memorable. You know what I mean? Like that's such a cute little logo.
Know.
You know,
so
it's like it's unique.
I've been getting my friends to help me promote. I've been like, you know, taking pictures a lot. Like these are things. It's funny because like you can tell this is like something that I'm actually serious about, because like typically I don't really care about like, so like posting stuff, but like this just kind of gave me a completely different drive and zeal to just like not even look back. Just I don't care if I have to like drown everybody's snap story posting JoJo's, because every day I ask my brother, like, oh, literally people start calling me JoJo and I answer, because that's like I live and breathe.
I know Genevieve did it early in the show.
She's like, JoJo, I'm like, yes, like, forget my name is Rume. So it's always like everybody, I'm like posting every time. So that's, you know, I just kind of had to like keep to, you know, for now I have to just push. Tell people, you know.
And how can folks, I mean, get your pies? I know.
So it's difficult because, like, for now, I mean, eventually I plan on getting a car very soon.
Sure.
I don't drive for now. I don't have a car. But, like, I try my best. If you can meet me halfway, that's good. If you can pick it up, that's good. If I can deliver, then it works. So it's just kind of, like, I have to just figure out.
You work it out.
Yeah, exactly. At the end of the day, I have to get the pies to whoever. Like, you know, because I've been getting, like, good orders, and you know I'm happy about that. So I just kind of had to like, I can't disappoint.
I wonder if you can get on Uber Eats.
That would be dope.
Yeah, so like
we gonna get you on Uber Eats, girl.
Hello,
Uber Eats. If you if y'all tuned in, get you some JoJo's pies.
But yeah, but it's something that I have to build, you know, and work on, make sure like it's perfect product, make sure I'm like, you know, consistent, make sure I'm actually delivering. And you know, just like everything I make it with love, because I literally like treat every pie the same.
Right.
It's not like, I mean, even if I'm making mass pies, it's kind of like I'm very detailed naturally, so I like to like make sure everything looks like almost perfect, not perfect, but like
I'll make perfect an effort.
So I literally like take. Sometimes I get frustrated because I'm just like, oh my god, I made like I've tried those. There was a day I made like 3 batches of like crust. It didn't come out well, and I was just like not having it. I like, kept trying because I was like, I don't care, but it has to be A1. It has to be
perfect.
Right,
it has
like,
to be good.
It's something that I really, you know, I really want to happen. So. So definitely, yeah, like I try to, if I even have to fly to drop off some JoJo's.
JetBlue, if you want to sponsor JoJo's pies.
I like deliver to, like, I ship, like, out of state too. So
right.
all of it, as long as like everyone gets some judges, everyone's happy.
Awesome. So you will you also like mail it to folks too?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
If I have to, yeah.
Okay. Listen.
Why not? I have, like, friends, like in Georgia and, like, Houston. Like, oh, my God, mail me some. I'm just like, yeah, don't worry, I got
nice,
you.
Nice,
I just have to figure out a way to, like, make it, like, package it well.
Yeah.
Like, it's very tricky with pastry. You have to, like, make sure it's, like, frozen and preserved.
You'd have to, like, frozen and solid.
Or, like, and pack it very well. So I got, like, bubble wraps and stuff. And, like, I've been doing research on how to, like, ship frozen stuff, pastries. Mm-hmm. Because it's very tricky. I mean, it's different if you're shipping, like, cookies or cake.
Yeah.
It's more, like...
But solid. These are more, like, these perishable.
Because like, they break, yeah.
Yep, it's, like, definitely indelicate. Yeah. Well, I say we try a pie.
Yeah, of course.
Ew.
But I wish it was warm, though.
You know, cool. That's okay, because you know what? I say that, you know...
What flavors are these?
So, Crystal was telling me I should have asked, but like I just kind of threw in like
she
samples.
Threw a little everything
so
in here.
So there's jerk chicken there, there's beef, there's pot pie.
What's the one with the little green on the side? Is that the pot pie?
That's probably, yeah.
Oh, chicken pot pie?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe. Crystal gonna try chicken pot pie. Ew. You gonna go for one, Jeffy?
I'm just gonna try my luck.
Try it.
I'm gonna go for this one.
Yeah, so just surprise yourself. Like chicken pot pie. That's probably
beef,
chicken, yeah.
Yay.
Ew.
Let me know how it tastes. It tastes so much better when it's warm and like, cause it's like flaky.
It's good.
Mm.
You don't know this, but my favorite food is like meat and.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah.
Cause it's good.
I can't be extra.
This mad good though. Wait, but this crust is mad flaky though.
Yeah. Mm. It is.
You know, we always got a snack of the week, so the snack of the week is JoJo's pies.
JoJo!
Nice. Grandma JoJo.
But yeah.
How do you have time to do all this?
I make time. Sometimes I don't sleep because I'm just like, because that's why I said it has to, it's easier for me because it's different if I didn't like doing this, if I didn't like baking, because it's very, because you have to like make the,
sorry,
you have to make the crust. Huh?
I want a piece of that one.
Oh, you want this? Oh, pardon me, girl. I was like, what is she pointing at? Oh, she want a piece of my pot pie.
They taste anointed, girl. Thank you.
They taste anointed. I love anointed. It. Listen, Grandma JoJo, listen, she did.
You guys, you're not even hyping this right now. Like,
no, let's go.
Now, can we ask you how much you sell them for?
Oh yeah, how much?
Yeah,
do you
they're pretty
for?
Cheap. So I sell them at the boxes. So it depends on like obviously the filling. So if I'm using like I told you, I have like different fillings. So obviously, chicken is like pretty much cheap. So like I'll sell like chicken for a piece for like $2, but like I'll sell like by the box. So let's say like 12 pieces of chicken would be like $24, which is not bad.
No,
and
not
if
at
I
all.
Had, like, if I had like pepper steak, obviously that's like more expensive. Mm-hmm. I'll probably sell it for like $3.50 or $3, depending on like $3 a piece. Yeah. And then, so like I said, I'm coming up with more fillings, so it depends.
Where are you
on,
located, girl?
Roslindale. Come find me.
Listen, Boston. Come through to JoJo's Pies.
Yes.
Come through the romance house in Roslindale. These
she'll
are
meet
so
you at Forest Hills.
Right. Meet you at the train station. These are really good.
Thank you.
Like, for real. Even though they're not warm, like, these are good.
Made of love.
Listen, girl, you put your foot in it.
I did.
Stuck her whole big toe in there.
I also make banana. So I started this thing. It was very random because like I don't even know how, but I was like, maybe I should do like mini banana loaves. So it's like I'll do banana bread but with like different fillings and different flavors. So I probably have like double chocolate or like coconut flakes or like honey roasted peanuts, just like different types of like banana bread, so people can like just kind of like have it, try it, and whatever like pleases you, you know. So I thought that would be like a cute like seasonal thing. Yeah, of course.
This is no shade to nobody, but
as soon as you say this is no shade to somebody, that means you about to throw shade. Continue.
These taste much better than the ones I had at a restaurant.
Oh, okay. So, but like actually though,
no, I'm dead ass.
Yo, I want to find a jerk
chicken.
$8
for two. So
$8 for two.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, girl, this is a jerk chicken.
Yeah, try that. That's my favorite one to make, the jerk chicken, because it's so up. Like.
Y'all are missing out.
Listen,
it reminds me of
it's flaky.
It's flaky.
It's not too crispy. I love Haitian patties, but sometimes I'd be like, why did you bake this so damn long? Because I want to taste the pastry part, and you can taste it in her.
Sorry? my bad. Yo, I went into a whole nother galaxy right there. This is so good. My bad. I forgot we was on the air and everything. I just closed my eyes right quick and just like, I went up and hung out with Grandma JoJo real quick.
First of all, I cannot do.
No lie. This is so good.
You have to eat all of these right here.
Like, but actually, though, like, snack of the week, JoJo's pie. This is so good, though. This is so good.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you guys definitely check out, you know, Roommate and Grandma JoJo's pies.
Do you have a website?
Not yet. I'm working.
Yeah, where can people find you? Where can people find you?
For now, you can find me on Instagram. Damn. I don't know my Instagram name.
Your Instagram is jojo.pies because I'm on it right now.
Is my Instagram.
We'll also put all of this in, like, all of our descriptions wherever you guys are listening. You gonna get everything so you know where to find the pies.
Guys, make sure you follow me on Twitter. Same thing on Instagram and on Facebook, like my page.
Because
I'm going to be posting more stuff.
Because these are popping, let me tell you. JoJo's pies.
I feel like you're being
are really good. No lie, though. I wouldn't lie to you, though. I would absolutely lie to you.
So, if they didn't taste good, would you actually like let me know they didn't taste good?
I would let you know if they. Listen.
You would have known about her.
That's not true.
You would have known. Let me tell you something. I have the taste buds of a 4-year-old.
6-year-old.
A 6-year-old sometimes.
But I'm like,
listen, I would sniff it and be like, no, I'm serious. If it don't smell good, I'm not gonna eat it. Like, girl, you gotta listen to our past episodes. I'm saying. No, these are really good. Like, honestly, these are really. I wouldn't like BS you. Like, we would have been like, they good, girl. You can try the pies, maybe if you like. But you know, no, these are really good. Definitely, y'all check her out.
Thank you.
These are so good. Honor to Grandma JoJo because. Listen, she did a good job with you, and yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah! I can't believe, it's already 10 o'clock.
I'm so excited. Thank you guys so much for having me tonight.
I'm glad you're wrapping up, girl, because we still eating.
Thank you. We just want to let Roommate wrap up the show, and this is now the Roommate show. This is so good.
Oh my God.
It's so good.
I guess I should save this other half for you.
What's that one?
It's still jerk chicken one. But you
definitely tell your parents, tell your friends. I'll do events, baby showers, anything at all.
Yeah, find
get some JoJo's in your life. Your life will never be the same.
Also, if it helps you, girl, like you can deliver it to me. And if folks are up here near Somerville, you know, y'all can come through to the studio. You can pick it up at Somerville Media Center. We can be a location for you. Girl, listen. We gonna work it out.
Thank you so much for you.
The Lord knew I usually call my dad to go get me some patties.
No, forget that.
So he's in Mattapan, you know, he's driving around or whatever. But the Lord didn't answer my prayer. Cause I was like, he ain't coming about 2 weeks and I need a patty. Like, there are no patties on this side.
Yes, guys. So make sure you order some JoJo's pie.
Yes, we're gonna like big you up on all of our.
Stop playing yourself.
So good. I'm saying, stop playing your taste buds. Your taste buds don't know what they're missing. Tell you what. Anywho. Thank you so much, Roommate, for coming on the show. For coming through to Boston.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
Of course. Yeah, Genevieve's still munching. I'm about to stuff my. I'm gonna wait till we finish the show to finish the other half of that. But
y'all can find me because I want to get back to my little meat pie. Y'all can find me on Instagram at @LagosDays_ParisNights.
Ew.
And Twitter at MissFab617.
Ew.
That's it.
All right, and it's your girl Crystal, aka the Crystal Lens, on Twitter and Instagram, and you know where to find us every week, every Wednesday, 9 o'clock on BostonFreeRadio.com. You're listening to Boston Come Through. And until next time, we have Miss Roommate West here. Check out JoJo's Pies.
JoJo.
Do your taste buds a favor. Mm-hmm. Get some JoJo's Pies.
Get some JoJo's in your life.
Absolutely. And again, like I said before, we're on iTunes, so definitely subscribe on iTunes on Boston Come Through. We're going to do our darndest, get these episodes up for y'all with the quickness. And until next week, this is Boston Come Through.
Y'all have a blessed one.
Bye.
Praise Jesus.